Join the conversation at everydaynovelist.com. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find the host at J.D. Sawyer on Minds.com, or hit him up at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life.
Welcome to our fireside chat. We're recording this literally outside in a snowstorm by a fire in a barrel, and it's very cozy. We're glad to have you with us. Today we have Roland with us, who has sent in some very interesting feedback on the subject of short stories, I believe.
Yes. I like your answers to Brad about whether one can make money with short fiction, but of course I have comments because that's the wrong question. A better way to look at it would be to consider which will make you more money over the same period, say your first 5 or 10 years in publishing. Will more but shorter books than is typical of your genre do better or worse than fewer but longer books? If one can produce 300,000 finished words per year, which will sell better in your genre and sell for more? 10, 30,000 word books or 5, 60,000 word books? If they are in a series, will readers want 10 short books or give up because of lack of depth? There's no way to do an A-B split on this, but I've seen authors put out shorter books because today's technology is length agnostic, only to find that readers are not. When they later replace the novella with a novel or merely lengthen it, readers start to buy more often. I've seen a lot of wishful thinking when it comes to shorter books, 10 to 20,000 word serials, old school style pulp fiction, and even retro book covers. But just because it used to work doesn't mean it will work today. It also doesn't mean something else wouldn't have worked back then, but only a time traveler can test that out. While the technical barriers are now down, as Kitty pointed out, there are still expectations from decades of reading, and you still have to hit them or you won't sell as many books. One of the best resources I know is Kaylytics, which has genre reports for about $37 each. They scrape Amazon and compile the trends, including word counts, and tropes of each genre so authors can write what readers are looking for. And he includes a link to the sci-fi and fantasy Kaylytics.
So there's a lot of good thought here, and it's worth listening to. Thank you very much for sending it in, Roland. I have a complex reaction. I'm not sure which. I think it's complex. There are a couple of basic business principles that are at war here. One of them is play to the market, and the other is make the market. The people who are able to create the market are the people that own it. The people that can follow it successfully are the people who will always eat. The people who follow it and they're not quite quick enough are never going to eat well, and the people who try to create the market but aren't good at it are frequently going to starve to death. The winning strategy for those who win big are the people who create markets. They create niches, they set trends. And this can be done with length, as well as with genre, with story type, etc. The people who eat well are the people who are good at spotting who's about to break or who's breaking, and can write to that in a way that either capitalizes on it very, very efficiently, or that feeds a hunger in a market that is undersaturated. The people who eat okay but don't eat well are the people who play to a saturated marketplace and chase trends halfway down the curve. And the people who don't eat well at all are the people who are either neither making tastes or chasing trends, or who are attempting unsuccessfully to make taste. So because of this, I am uncomfortable with your advice on following the analytics as a panacea, because I personally am interested in standing out. I'm interested in being one of those voices who's remembered in 100 years. I'm more interested in doing that than in eating well. So I'm willing to take the risk, because I know that if I manage that, I'm going to eat very well, most likely. If I'm very unlucky, but still win, I'll be a tastemaker after I die. And there have been a few of those, like Herman Melville, or poorer was James Kennedy, who did the Confederacy of Dunces, people like that. Or Edgar Allan Poe. He was popular in his day, but he is far more popular now than he was then. So a lot of it's going to depend on what sort of writer you want to be and on what sort of writer you actually are. There's certain things about the way you are as a writer that it's better to lean into than to run away from. Some things you want to grow beyond. Some things you can't change them, really, and still function. And you got to figure out what those are for you. And they're different for everybody.
That said, I think it's worth noting what length expectations are in certain genres so that you know whether or not you are falling outside of them. Even if the books you choose to write are going to be outside of the genre, you are more likely to be prepared for the
sort of battle you have to fight.
Yeah.
And you do, if you are skating outside the length conventions of your genre, you do have to be creative. One of my favorite examples of someone who's done this and done this so well. Actually, two people I know very well have done this really, really well. One of them is Dean Wesley Smith, who aggressively writes ultra-short novels and very short stories, and writes them like a madman, has hundreds of titles out, and he has to sell very little per title in order to live very well. And he does live very well. He wanted to be an old-style pulp writer, and he came into the market after that ship had done sailed. He made it work anyway, because he wanted to do that, and so he figured out how to make it work. And M.L. Buckman, who is a romance and romantic suspense writer, writes military romance, firefighter romance, high suspense romance, stuff like that. A genre which is not particularly known for its fertility in the short story department.
Mm-hmm.
Buckman does very, very well with his short stories because what he's done is he's figured out a way to make it the thing that people always come back for. He releases a god-awful amount of short stories that fill up the gaps in his universes, that keep the readers coming back. Every Christmas, there's a Christmas story. It's one of the best-selling titles released every year in the catalog.
Mm-hmm.
Does spectacularly well with this strategy. And it started because Buckman was in a workshop that required a lot of short stories. And there was nothing to do with them afterwards. And if I recall correctly, started using them as a magnet for mailing list signups.
And also a free fiction.
And does a free fiction of the month. Yeah, does a free fiction every month. And it's free on the blog and then goes to paid afterwards. But you can also, when it's free on the blog, you can order it for rereading later at a discounted price. And there's all sorts of tricks that Buckman is using that are really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And Gail Carriger is making a career out of novellas, or what she calls novellas. Short books under 50,000 words in a genre, fantasy and fantasy romance, that is accustomed to long books.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make this work, but it requires some creativity and a lot of audience cultivation. And it does help if you are moving readers that you have hooked with novels into short stories, short novels, and other shorter works. Because once you've got them hooked on the universe and hooked on the characters, you've got a lot more freedom there. So, thank you very much for the feedback, Roland. It's all important stuff worth considering, and it provoked a lot more thought on my part, and I really appreciate that. Check out Kalytics for your analytics for what's doing well on Amazon in your categories, so you can at least know the market expectations of that segment of the market. And figure out what to do with them, I guess.
And if you feel cheap, honestly, searching Amazon for best-selling of your genre often will get you a lot of information as well.
Yeah, it doesn't go quite as... I've seen inside Katalytics, it doesn't go quite as deep.
Obviously not, but for a good overview of what is selling in your genre and stuff like that, you can get a lot from just looking.
Yeah, and look at the narrow genre niches. We're going to be talking about that. Our listener, our regular questioner, Melissa, is going to be coming on sometime soon here to talk about genre niche targeting and other stuff like that.
Oh,
so that's going to be fun. Thank you very much for the question, Roland, and we'll see all of you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners. Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.